Good to see you again tonight. We're continuing our study in the book of Genesis about the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 40. If you would turn there. And I just had a thought before I came up when we were saying that hymn. I do have thoughts sometimes. They do come into my brain. And I really appreciate, I deeply appreciate your support and encouragement of me personally over these years here at Northgate Chapel. It means a lot. You know, when we can encourage one another as Christians, that's a wonderful thing. And you've encouraged me and you supported me and I know you've prayed for me. And I really appreciate that. I just want to let you know about that. And because I believe that if you're doing something nice for people, you ought to tell them, you know, very simply put. And I certainly appreciate the encouragement and support you've given me over the years. And I wouldn't be up here tonight without your encouragement, your prayers, and your support. So I appreciate that. But we were continuing on in Genesis chapter 40. We finished chapter 39 this morning. And we're talking about the life of Joseph. And I had another thought. tonight was you've probably seen that movie It's a Wonderful Life. I know you've probably seen that. It's an old movie, 1947. Jimmy Stewart's in it, and I always like to watch that movie around Christmas time. It's a Christmas type of movie, and I just happen to think of that movie, and as far as Joseph was concerned, I think in chapter 50 when we get there, I think that Joseph could look back in his life, and he could say that he had lived a wonderful life. Now, Joseph, this morning, we found out that he was cast into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was put and thrown into prison unjustly and unfairly. But, you know, he could look back over his life at the end of his life, and he could probably praise the Lord and say, you know, it's been a wonderful life. I hope that we can do that in our Christian experience. When we look back over our life, regardless of our age, that we can say it's been a wonderful life in spite of all those burdens and trials that we had to go through. And I'm sure that Joseph could. And in chapter 40, we see that Joseph is in the prison. And in chapter 40 and verses, we're not going to read. You know, we got 10 or 11 chapters to cover here, folks. We can't read all that stuff. We're going to read excerpts from each chapter tonight. But in chapter 40, we see that Joseph interprets the dreams of the chief butler and the chief baker. And in verse 14, if you look at verse 14 of chapter 40, it reads, but thank Joseph is talking to the butler here in verse 14. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of thee unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And Joseph is telling the chief butler here that when he goes back to be with Pharaoh, listen, Mr. Butler, you put in a good word to me, a good word for me to Pharaoh. When you see Pharaoh, tell him I'm here rotting away here in this jail, and I don't want to get out. I want to be released. And Joseph said in verse 15, he says, I was stolen away from my land, the land of the Hebrews, and I've been here in this dungeon, this jail, falsely accused, unjustly accused. And Joseph wanted to get out. I mean, can we blame him for doing that? You know, if we were in jail, hopefully that'll never happen to you or me, if we were falsely accused of a crime that we did not commit and we were sentenced for some years in prison, and we got in that jail or that prison, we would want to get out because we know that we are innocent. And Joseph felt that he was innocent. He wanted to leave that prison. He wanted to find a way out. But I think one of the things we have to recognize here in chapter 40 about Joseph is the fact that he didn't go through God here in chapter 40. He wanted the chief butler to help him get out of prison. And as a result of this, his hope failed. And in verse 23, if you look at the last verse of chapter 40, verse 23, says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The butler forgot Joseph. Joseph was in prison as a forgotten man. He was forgotten by his mother and father. He was forgotten by his 11 brothers. He was forgotten by Potiphar. He was forgotten by the baker and the butler. He was a forgotten man. Nobody remembered Joseph. But God did. God was the only one who remembered Joseph. But you know, God is the only one that counts as far as remembering things. And in chapter 40, we see that even though Joseph was a forgotten man in prison, God was patiently working in Joseph's life. God was patiently working in Joseph's life. And I believe, now this is my own opinion, this is not what Scripture teaches. In verses 14 and 15, I believe that Joseph was jumping the gun a little bit by not waiting on God in verses 14 and 15. That's my opinion. You may disagree with that. But in chapter 40, we see at the end of that chapter that Joseph was in prison and nobody had remembered him. He was totally and completely forgotten by everyone except the Lord. Except the Lord. And that brings us to chapter 41. We see that in chapter 41, verse 1, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, Joseph, by this time, had been unfairly imprisoned, falsely accused in that prison for 2 whole years at this point. If you think about that, think about being in jail or in prison for 2 years for a crime that you're totally and completely innocent of. Think about that. We would think, well, a couple of years, that's not very long. But to be unfairly accused of something and thrown into prison as an innocent man or an innocent woman, 2 years is a long time. And Joseph was in that jail for 2 years. In verse 14, however, it says that, let's look at verse 11. We'll start at verse 11, chapter 41. It says, "And we dreamed a dream one night, and I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of this dream." This is the butler speaking to Pharaoh. "And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, so each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass that he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and he brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." In verse 14, Joseph was finally liberated and released from prison, never to return again. Never. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's all a matter of timing. And I can tell you from personal experience that God's timing is everything. It means everything. I'll tell you a story that happened to me last spring. And, you know, you may not think this is a big deal. But, my dad died 4 years ago. He left a beat-up, it was a 24-year-old car. I mean, that thing was a beat-up old rust bucket. And I was trying to sell it, get rid of it. And, who in the world wants to buy a 24-year-old rust bucket anyway? I had a hard time doing that, selling it to somebody. And so what I decided to do, I called up one of these charitable groups. It was either Society for the Blind or the Kidney Foundation. What they do is you sign the title of the car over to them, and they'll come and pick it up, and you get a tax deduction on it. In other words, you just give it to them. And I was prepared to do that. So I kind of prayed about it, hemmed and hawed, and put it off, and this type of thing. And one morning I decided, well, I tell you what, I'm going to take the title of the car, and I'm going to go down to the bank, have the title notarized, and send it off to these people so they come and get that old car and take it off my hands. As I was heading out the door, the doorbell rang. Answered the door, and a guy who was a worker for the city, who happened to be in my neighborhood working, told me, he said, "You know, I was coming by, and I saw that old car in your driveway. You know, I really need a car really bad. Would you like to sell that car?" I said, "Oh, yeah." "Yeah, sure, bub. I'll sell it." And I told him the truth about the car. It was old, and it'll run, but I don't know how far it's going to run. You know, and I told him I didn't lie to him. I didn't hold anything back on the condition of the car. And we agreed on a price. Next day, he bought the money, and he paid for it. We went and did the title work. and he drove that car, old car, off. Amazing. And I look back on that, and I think, you know, that has to be God working in a situation like that. And I'm sure that you can tell me about things that happened in your life, that how the Lord timing in a particular event or circumstance in your life, and it was all God, of God's timing. It was all God's work in that. And you know, Joseph was in that situation. In verse 14, we see that Joseph was released from prison. It was all a matter of God's timing. Joseph had to wait on the Lord. What else could he do in a prison? He had to wait on the Lord. And, you know, Joseph didn't get himself out of that prison. God got him out of that prison. And sometimes God will put us into situations where we all have to wait on him. We can't do anything. We can't move to the left or the right. We can't go forward. We can't go backward. We can't do anything. We have to totally commit ourselves and depend on the Lord, and he will work things out. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. So that's what happened to my car, that old car. The Lord worked everything out. And God worked everything out for Joseph. He got him out of that prison and brought him to Pharaoh in chapter 41. And it says in chapter 41, verse 41, if you take a look at that. Now, Joseph had interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And in verse 41, it says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring, that is his signet ring, from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." In verse 46 it says, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." On the day, in verse 14, on the day he was released from prison, Joseph went from being in a dungeon, in a jail, in one day, to the second most powerful man in the land of Egypt, the prince of Egypt, the prime minister of a great country. In one day. Do you see how God is working in Joseph's life? Do you see the timing involved here? Do you see how Joseph was put in a situation of waiting for God? And we might ask ourselves, and I did ask myself this question, why would God allow Joseph to be a slave and be in prison for 13 years? He was 17 years old when he was sold down to Egypt as a slave. Now here he is, 30 years old, a young man, a young adult man. 13 years. Why would God allow something like that to happen in a man's life like that? There are a number of reasons, but I think one of the main reasons is God was preparing Joseph for the job of being prime minister of Egypt. God is in the business of preparing people for service to him. God is preparing you right now. Right now. You who are listening or to my voice or in this auditorium tonight, God is preparing you for service for him. Right now, he is working in your life. Just like he's working in Joseph's life, he is preparing you for a special and specific work for him. That's what the Lord is doing right now. And I recall that God prepared me over the years. I remember when I first got saved here years ago, 1979, I started working in Awana in Sunday school. And, you know, I was as happy as a little lark chirping out in the field, just working in Awana in Sunday school. I didn't care about anything else. And one day, Gene Way came up to me and he said, "Earl, how would you like to speak on Wednesday night?" And I thought to myself, no. And then I heard my mouth say, "Okay." And I remember the message. Well, I don't remember exactly the message, but I remember I was so relieved after I got through. And when I sat down, I thought, man, I tell you what, that message was so lousy, I know they're not going to ask me again to preach. But that didn't happen either. And I was preaching three or four times a year on Wednesday night. Then it went six times a year. And then it went to once a month on Wednesday night. And people started telling me, "Earl, you know, you ought to start preaching on Sundays." I said, "No, we're not going to do that. No, No preaching on Sundays. I'll do Wednesday night. No Sundays. No. Yeah, but you ought to do that. You ought to keep. I said, no. Of course, I was preaching out of town in other assemblies on Sunday. I didn't tell them that. You know. But, you know, the point I want to make is God will take our lives, as long as we're obedient to Him and faithful to Him, God will take your life as a believer, as a Christian, and He will prepare you for service for Him. God was preparing Joseph. God prepared Moses by letting him spend 40 years in isolation on the backside of the desert. God prepared Peter. Even though Peter turned his back on the Lord, the Lord Jesus prepared Peter to be one of the leaders in the early church. God prepared the Apostle Paul. Do you see how God is working in the lives of these great men and women in the Scriptures, preparing them over years? That it took 13 years for Joseph. It took 40 years for Moses in God's preparation. But in any case, however length of time it takes, God is preparing us to be of service and use to Him. The thing that we have to remember, are we going to cooperate with God in the process? Joseph cooperated with God. You know, we remember, you recall this morning, we were talking about Joseph being a slave in Potiphar's household. Joseph was determined to be the best slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph was determined to be the best prisoner in that prison that he was thrown into. And, that's the attitude that you and I ought to recognize and take as believers in the Lord Jesus, is that if we're going to be used by God, we have to cooperate with Him in the process, in His preparation of us. And it may take, we're not talking about days and months, we're talking about years of being prepared by God. God will take you and prepare you for years to be useful for Him in service. It took 13 years for Joseph, and But God never forgot Joseph in that prison. And the Lord will never forget you and me, brother, sister in Christ. He'll never forget us. He has work for us to do. Even right now. No matter what you think you can or can't do for God, God has work for you to do right now. And I hope that you do cooperate with the Lord in the process, because that's what it takes. It takes years of preparation to be used by God. And Joseph was a wonderful and beautiful example of that. But in chapter 42, if we move on to chapter 42, the famine brings Jacob's sons to Egypt to buy food. In chapter 42, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt, or grain in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us, and thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. In chapter 42, we see that his brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Joseph recognized his brothers. His brothers did not recognize Joseph. And we may well ask the question, why didn't his brothers recognize Joseph? Well, you know, sometimes we see what we expect to see. Joseph's brothers went down to Egypt, and they knew that he was this man. They didn't know who it was, but it was his brother. It was Joseph. They didn't know who it was, but they knew that he was a ruler over Egypt. So his brothers went down to Egypt, and they expected to see a ruler of Egypt. That's what they saw. They saw Joseph as a ruler of Egypt. They didn't recognize him as his brother. Joseph recognized his brothers, though. And we see that Joseph, of course, tested his brother. And they, in chapter 43, they made a second journey to Egypt. And that brings us to chapter 45. I know we're going through this pretty fast. But in chapter 45, Joseph reveals himself to his brother. If we look at chapter 45, I'm going to read the first 8 verses of that chapter. Chapter 45, verse 1. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried." Now, Joseph is standing in front of his brothers here. "Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did not send me before you to preserve, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there neither shall be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. There are a couple of things here that we need to look at spiritual truths here. One of the things is his brothers, as we learned this morning, hated and despised Joseph. These 11 men hated and despised Joseph so much they conspired to murder him. They took him, they cast Joseph down into a pit. He was sold into slavery, spent 13 years as a slave to Pharaoh, or slave to Potiphar, and 2 years in prison. And his brothers are appearing before him in chapter 45 right here. The tables have been turned. The shoe is on the other foot. Now, Joseph had some options right here when he saw his brothers, recognized him. He could have taken his brothers out and ordered some of the Egyptian soldiers to take a sword and run it through them. He could have taken his brothers and thrown them all into prison. Well, I spent 13 years in prison. Now it's your turn to spend some time in the prison. It's payback time, folks, brethren, brothers. It's time for me to pay you back for what you did to me and how you treated me. Those were some of the options that Joseph could have considered. But he didn't do that, did he? When Joseph revealed himself, Joseph showed mercy to these men. You recall this morning when Joseph was thrown in prison that we read where the Lord showed mercy unto Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Here the tables have been turned. The shoe is on the other foot. Joseph could have had his brothers executed, thrown into prison, but instead he showed them mercy and grace. Do you see that, brother, sister in Christ? Do you see what Joseph did? What a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the people that hated and despised the Lord Jesus, the Lord was prepared to show them mercy. Exactly the same thing that Joseph showed his brothers. What a wonderful, beautiful picture of God's mercy and grace in chapter 45. Another thing we see in chapter 45 in verses 7 and 8 is that Joseph understood the workings of God in his life. Joseph understood the workings of God in his life, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 said, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. The word posterity there can be rendered remnant. God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Notice verse 8. So it was not you that sent me here, but God did. He hath made thee a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, Joseph said, you notice what he said? He didn't say, I did this, and I did that, and I accomplished these great things. God did these things for Joseph. And in verse 7, it says that God sent me down before you to preserve a remnant in the earth to deliver your lives. And, you know, I think it's dawning on Joseph here in chapter 45. All the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together in his life. He is starting to recognize what God is trying to accomplish in his life. Brother and sister in Christ, do you recognize what God is trying to accomplish in your life? In the events and circumstances that you have to go through, the burdens and the trials and the pain and the suffering that you and I have to go through, do we recognize what God is trying to accomplish in our life? It took a while for Joseph to figure this out. I guess it took him 13 years. It took Joseph 13 years to figure out what was going on in his life. And for us, it may take longer. I don't know. And Joseph was put in a position here in chapter 45 where he could have easily got rid of his brothers, but he didn't. Because Joseph knew that God was working in his life. Joseph knew that. He could see it. He could look at this point in his life. He could look back in his life, and he could see how God, the hand of God, was working in his life. And he showed mercy to his brothers. What a wonderful picture, a wonderful thing that is. But in chapter 46, let's move to chapter 46, we see that Jacob and his family are coming down from the land of Canaan to Egypt in chapter 46, and in verse 28 of chapter 46, verse 27, we'll read verse 27. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot, and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What a grand reunion that was. Here's old Jacob, Israel, who found out that his son was alive, not dead. Jacob had given up Joseph for dead 13 years ago. And yet he found out that Joseph was alive. He was going to see his son with his own eyes. And they embraced each other and wept. I'd love to have been there to see that reunion. What an incredible reunion that was. And you know, I was thinking when I was reading that, you know, chapter 46 is not talking about the rapture of the church. But it reminded me of the reunion that you and I are going to have someday. You know, we've had loved ones to go on to be with the Lord. We've had wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, children, aunts, uncles, dear friends, and there, many of them are in heaven, grandparents. They're in heaven right now. But you know, we're going to be reunited with them in a grand reunion of our own someday when the Lord comes to take us to be with himself. What a wonderful day that's going to be. We see here Jacob and Joseph. This was an earthly reunion, and I'm sure that it was a wonderful thing for Jacob and Joseph to experience here in chapter 46. But you know, you and I are going to experience something even far greater and far more incredible and far more glorious than Jacob and Joseph, and that was a reunion we're going to have in the air someday with the Lord and with all his people. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful hope and future to look forward to. And in chapter 47, Jacob and his family settle in Egypt. In chapter 47, verse 1, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren, their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. We see here that God's purposes are finally becoming real. You know, this was God's purpose all along, brother, sister, and Christ, in the life of Joseph. From the time that we see in Genesis 37 this morning, we saw how Joseph's brothers hated him so much until chapter 47 right here. It was all part of God's plan for this, all these things to happen. Do you see the puzzle of Joseph's life, how all the pieces fit together? This is always in the mind of God. It was his plan in the beginning that all these things should happen in Joseph's life. And the Lord brought Joseph to this point in chapter 47 where all his family were coming down into the land of Egypt. And of course, the plan doesn't stop there. We see in the book of Exodus how the children of Israel had grown and grown and grown. And they were suffering under slavery. And it took another man that God had prepared to bring the children of Israel out of the land of slavery into the promised land in the book of Exodus. But all these things, it started in chapter 37 with Joseph. What an incredible picture. You know, God is the God of the future, God is the God of history, of the past, but you know, God is the God of the future, brothers and sisters in Christ. What a wonderful plan this was. You and I could never devise such a plan in our life, in our own mind, for Joseph. And God has a similar plan for you. You may say, well, Earl, you know, I'm not sure what God's plan is for my life, and I don't know what it is, but you know, I can relate to that in some areas of my life, because there's certain things I don't know what's going to happen in the future with me. And we've heard that old saying, it's almost like a cliche, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. You've heard that before. That sounds like a cliche, but it's true, isn't it? It's true. God, our futures, our lives are in God's hands even right now at this moment. Nothing happens in your life because of accidents. We saw that this morning. You know, and God is working his plan out. God had a plan for Joseph's life. God has a plan for your life, and he will work that plan. It's up to us to be faithful to our Lord and our Savior, to be obedient to him. That's our responsibility before God. God expects that from us. That's his expectation of you and me. God will work that plan out. And as I said before, we need to cooperate with God in that plan that he has for our lives. And hopefully we'll be able to do that. And I hope the next time that I have a trial, a burden, a problem, a heartache, a disappointment, I hope that I can remember Joseph and remember the fact that God, in spite of all these problems and pains and sufferings that we have to go through, God is still working that plan in your life, brother, sister in Christ. He still is. He's at work right now in your life, bringing his plan to fruition. And in chapter 48, we see that Jacob blesses. We're going to be in chapter 50 here in just a second. Chapter 48, Jacob blesses Joseph's sons, and in chapter 49, Jacob has his last conversation with his sons and his death. And that does bring us to chapter 50, verse 15. Chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye sought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a wonderful, what an incredible man that is. Here's his brother. You know, we all have insecurities in our life, and Joseph's brothers were insecure about their future because of the terrible evil they had done to Joseph. And they were still concerned and worried about that. Joseph put them to ease about that. He said, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You know, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You know, verse 20 is interesting because if you look at the wording in verse 20 and compare that to Romans 8:28, there are some similarities there. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You know, that's Joseph's life. Joseph is a walking, living illustration of that incredible verse, Romans 8:28. You know, Joseph could look back in his life and he could see the hand of God working. And he can see how God had prepared him. God molded him and formed him to be of use to him, to be the second most powerful man in Egypt. God had taken Joseph's life and made something out of his dismal experience in that pit, in that slave, as a slave, a Potiphar, and in that jail. God had taken all those horrible, terrible, dark, discouraging things. He had turned them around and made Joseph the most powerful man, the second most powerful man in Egypt. What an incredible story. Incredible story. Now, you may say, well, you know, my life is not like that. And we talked about that this morning a little bit. You know, I'm pretty boring. I do this and I do that. And, you know, I get up and I go to bed, hands on the clock. And they go round and round. And nothing like that's going to have to be in my life. But, you know, brother, sister in Christ, you may say that now, but years down the road, and if you look back years down, if you go down years down the road in the future, God has something for you. God has that plan that he's worked out in your life right now. And it's a beautiful, wonderful plan. In spite of all the heartache, in spite of all the sin that we commit, in spite of all the horrible, terrible things, burdens that we have to bear, in spite of all the pain, all the suffering, God will bring his plan to pass in your life and in my life. We must be obedient and faithful to God because he is faithful to us. The Marine Corps has a, I happen to think about it, the Marine Corps has a motto, Semper Fidelis. It's a Latin phrase that means always faithful. Marines call it Semper Fi, but it means always faithful. You know, God is always faithful to us. He is always faithful to us. That is something that we can count on. You know, we can look at Joseph's life and we can see how faithful God was to him. It's a beautiful, incredible story. And I'm not saying that you and I are going to have the same life that Joseph will. But God has got something special for you to do in service for him. He has gifted you with certain talents, certain abilities. And he wants for you to use those talents and abilities for his honor and glory and for the benefit of other people. We can see that in Joseph's life. And God is he's in the business of preparing people. Regardless of how old you are, you may say, well, Earl, I'm 135 years old. I ain't got a couple of years left here. You know, what's God going to do with my life? Well, you know, and you may say, well, most of my life's already over. You know, I can't even do anything for the Lord. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that. I believe that regardless of your age, whether young, middle-aged, or old, God can still use you. God can still use you. God used Joseph in an incredible way. Even though when he started out, he was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. And in this particular case, I think Joseph, he could look out over his life and he could probably lift up his voice and praise and worship to God for what the Lord has accomplished for him. Can you and I, can we lift up our voice and praise the Lord for what he has accomplished through us and for us in our life? Can you look back over your life as a believer and see the hand of God working in your life? Can you see what God has accomplished for you? Can you believe the fact that God has a wonderful future? Now, I mean, before we get to heaven, God has a wonderful future and plan for your life. And I know we have some young people here tonight, and they've got most of their lives ahead of them. They've got an incredible, you may think, well, I'm too young to look back over my life in the past, but you know, you can look to the future, young people. Old people, middle-aged people, whoever you are. You can look to the future because God has a wonderful thing in store for us. But God wants to use us and take us and mold us. He is preparing you and I just like he prepared Joseph. And God will take us and use us for himself, for his glory. What a wonderful thing that is. And what a wonderful God and Savior we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to give praise to Him for everything that's in our lives. Anything that happens in our life that will benefit to other people and glory and it brings glory to God, it's all because of Him. It's all because of our Savior. We give glory to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we just give you thanksgiving and praise tonight for what you've accomplished in our lives. We pray, we thank you, Father, what you're going to accomplish in our lives in the future. And we believe in you, Lord. We have faith in you that you will bring to fruition the plan that you have for each one of our lives. And we know, Father, that your hand is working in each one of our lives here tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us and strengthen us to become more obedient and more faithful in our lives to you. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit might, that we be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit and that you will guide us and direct us into that wonderful, beautiful plan that you have for each one of us. And we thank you for the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ who made all these things possible. And we give you thanksgiving and praise in our Savior's holy name. Amen.